Sånn, min venn. Da er vi i gang.
Da er vi i gang, Jonas. Ja. Du, med, hvordan er det med... Hva skjedde med en stol?
Du sitter veldig lavt nå. Det var,
sånn. Ja. Der. Det var varmt ute.
Det er glovarmt. Det er jo helt... Skal vi møte folk etterpå? Jeg må gå innom H&M og kjøpe en ny t-skjorte.
Jeg tok på meg alt for mye klær, for jeg var ute før i dag, og da...
Det regnet jo før i dag.
Ja, spør om jeg var ute og kjørte motorsykkel akkurat når det fassa ned da.
Du kjørte motorsykkel i regnet, og så tok du på deg to jakker i sola. Du har en kjempedag.
Helt mislykket opplegg.
Du har en kjempedag.
Men det er bra, men du, dette her blir rett og slett den siste podcasten vi lager før sommeren, tror jeg.
Det blir det, fordi ja. Du drar, og moderne media stenger jo ned sjappa.
Stenger ned hele sjappa i juli.
Og vi får jo ikke til å legge ut podcaster selv.
Nei.
Så da må vi ha masse koder og noe dritt.
Da blir det en liten pause på oss i en liten god stund fremover.
Ja.
Men over juli så kan vi lage eventuelt.
Da kan vi lage igjen.
Må du komme ned til Sandfjord?
Ja, det gleder
jeg
meg til.
Jeg drar på søndag. Da er ferien i gang, Jonas Støme.
Da blir du der. Har du ferie da?
Da er det ikke sko før i september.
Altså. Fader, jeg må ha noen nye Havaianas. Det bruker jeg så lang tid på å skaffe. Hvor er det man kjøper Havaianas?
Hvor kjøper man Havaianas da? Før kunne man gjøre det nede på Jungstorget, men jeg vet ikke om de har de der sjappene der lenger.
Ja, kanskje jeg skal sånn gå dit etter.
Sånne bodegreier hadde
du. Ja. Jeg fikk så fine sånne der Quicksilver Havaianas.
Ja, men du kan kjøpe det på Seasport under...
Der kan du rett her borte.
Konserthuset. Der har de
ordentlig.
Ikke Havaianas, men de har sånne, som du sa, sikkert Quicksilver.
Ja.
Og noen andre...
Men det var sånn Quicksilver Havaianas, liksom. Så ikke det merket, men ja. Nei, de var fine.
Ja, for de er bra.
Ja.
Det har de der.
Ja, for jeg hater å gå med sko nå. Ja. Jeg merker at jeg ikke...
Men alle må gå på Seasport og handle. Det er viktig at den sjappa overlever.
Ja, sier selvfølgelig.
Ja.
Ja. Nei, det er jo gøy alt om dagen. Jeg har jo havnet i konflikt. Jeg har gått hardt ut mot Durek, André.
Ja, du har det.
Jeg stod i TV2, Jonas Støme, hardt ut mot Durek.
Ja, nydelig. Men det var jo veldig bra at han ble stoppet i det kvaksalveriet sitt med å begynne å dra inn rasismekortet oppi det svindelprosjektet sitt.
Ja, det var han... Det er nesten sånn, hvis rasister ikke var så dumme,
ja.
Så kunne det vært fint. Kan dere ikke bare ta han da?
Det er akkurat det.
Men det var jo veldig morsomt at den vitsen ble så aktuell igjen.
Ja, for den var jo egentlig fra Latter Live sist runde, typ halvt år eller mer
siden. Halvt år eller noen år siden eller noe sånt da.
Ja, nettopp, men den var jo mer aktuell enn noen gang.
Så kommer de to tullekoppene ut og gjør den brennaktuell. Ja.
Så hvis dere ikke har sett den, så kan dere gå inn bare på YouTube eller også søke...
Da kan dere gå inn på Instagramen min, faktisk.
Gå på Instagramen til Jona. Altså, jo, dere må følge oss på Instagram og privat Insta. Vi trenger folk på kontoene våre.
Ja, vi trenger å få det til å se ut som vi er populære.
Ja. Men du, det var innmari gøy. Altså, men den er jo også veldig morsom å påmerke den...
Takk, André. Jeg er litt fornøyd med vitsen selv. Jeg liker den veldig godt. Og så var det litt sånn trist at jeg bare følte at den måtte på Latter Live, fordi... Før den ble uaktuell igjen.
Ja. Og så bare poppet det opp.
Så poppet det opp, så nå får jeg i hvert fall vist den til flere folk da.
Ja, for jeg antar at den faktisk får enda mer reviews nå, for nå ble den også lagt ut på TV2.
Ja, TV2 la det ut, altså det er litt morsomt da.
Det er gøy.
Ja, det
er veldig gøy. Vi liker jo sånne ting som det selvfølgelig.
Ja. Det er litt gøy å få litt oppmerksomhet for det man faktisk gjør. Og nemlig å lage vitser.
Ja.
Og så
da blir det litt aktuelt og litt, litt kritikk da.
Ja, det var
monarki
litt...
Og
mye på en gang. Og Sennesett var inne der og gjorde saken litt mer faglig tyngde.
Ja, for da ble det nettopp, ikke sant? Da ble det jo litt sånn saklig også. Hun var jo på merke, hun også, som vanlig.
Ja, for der, jeg var på en jobb i går hvor de sa, de som jobbet der, de servitørene og sånn, etterpå. På Miniflaskemuseet, så sa han, der startet du en god diskusjon i det rommet der etter du gikk av scenen, så det var morsomt. Ja. Så jeg bare, oi faen, så kult at jeg...
Ja, for da tenkte du på den.
Jeg tenkte på den, eller et eller annet da. Ja. Og da var det sånn, nei, nå sitter du og diskuterer silikonpupper og restylanelepper, så det, jeg bare, ok, ja, det er vel det folk diskuterer etter å ha sett meg bimbo-showet mitt.
Ja, det er herlig da.
Ja.
Men du, i dag er det jo torsdag, vi spiller jo inn litt sent, fordi at ting koker greit om dagen.
Det koker greit om dagen.
Sommeravslutninger i huet og ræva, på skole, og det ja, jeg har jo uke på latter også, med 12 show denne uka her.
Ja, fy faen dere, og dere jobber der.
Altså. Jævlig gøy, og så gjør jeg radio for å bli ferdig, så jeg kan dra på ferie på søndag.
Ja.
Så da ble det torsdag, det gjør ikke det, og da har vi fått også tak i en ganske kul gjest, så det blir engelsk på det i dag.
International gjest.
Men det jeg tenker på, det er torsdag, det jeg skulle frem til, for at i dag er det festen til prinsesse Ingrid Alexandra.
Oi, gratulerer med dagen!
Hun ble jo 18 år. Den 21. januar, men da var det i pandemi, så da har det blitt utsatt. Men, og det på Deichmanske hovedbiblioteket i Bjørvika i dag.
Ja.
Og der mutteren invitert.
Oi, så stilig!
Ja, det var litt stilig,
synes jeg. Og fikk hun ikke ha med en plus one?
Nei.
Nei, jeg hadde ikke fått lov til å komme, men du kunne komme.
Nei,
Eller er du for nært knyttet til meg nå?
Ja, jeg tror det.
Som kritiker av...
Ja. Jeg tror det, men okay. Men jeg tenkte jo mer at Fredrik kanskje skulle være med, men han fikk ikke være med
han. Han fikk ikke være med. Nå skal mor koste seg alene.
Ja, så hun skulle jagge meg på det i dag, altså, så jeg litt spent på å høre hvordan det har vært.
Oi, så stilig. Det jo...
Hun skjønte ikke selv hvorfor, hun bare sånn, ja, de skulle vel ha noen gamle folk der da.
Ja, men det fyller jo hun det. Hun både gammel, men hun jo også vis.
Ja, det vel noe med den mediekarrieren, og at hun har bare frontet mye jødegreier da.
Ja, det apropos det, jeg har grått så mye i dag, André. Jeg så den største forbrytelsen, det ikke den filmen heter? Har du sett den?
Jakob Oftebro i hovedrollen.
Ja. Ja, jeg tårer opp nå av å snakke om det. Shit, ser du det?
Ja.
Ay, fy faen.
Det er jo ganske sterk, men det var veldig bra laget. Og...
Jeg hulkegrått, sånn. Jeg bare begynte ja. Satt sånn, så jeg måtte faktisk se halve Max Manus etterpå, for å ta igjen litt.
Ja, de var jo nominert til... De var jo nominert til Amanda, så da ble jeg faktisk intervjuet i forbindelse med den filmen.
Mm.
Og da måtte jeg se den, så da fikk jeg se den... Altså, jeg fikk den tilsendt, så jeg kunne se den.
Før?
Ja, jeg lurer på om det var... Altså, det må jo ha vært da på... Siden jeg gjorde at det var... Ja, må ha vært noe før opplegg, jeg tar faen, I hvert fall, så... Jeg er også bare, fy fader, den var jævlig bra.
Og på også et eller annet tidspunkt historie, her, så leser de opp navnet Levin.
Ja, de gjør det.
Og da... Åh, nei, det er noe videre jeg gråter.
Fy faen. Uff. Ja, men det var sterk.
Åh, shit, jeg begynner å grine her, det kan vi ikke gjøre.
Og...
Shit.
Og på, det var sterkt for mutteren også, var jo med på det der Amanda-opplegget, vi ble intervjuet sammen, og da hadde hun lagt merke til at på de listene som de hadde i filmen der, så alle listene liksom, så sto det jo Bernstein og Levin og sånn, ikke sant?
Ja.
Som var da hennes... Enda nærmere enn for meg da, altså, hun kjente jo de folka som sto på de listene der.
Ja, det er helt forferdelig. Det er helt forferdelig.
Ei.
Så da måtte jeg se litt Max Manus og få drept noen nazisvin i en vei.
Nei, jeg sendte en melding til Jakob etter å ha sett den filmen der. Bare, det må jo være noe av det beste han har gjort.
Ja, jeg synes han var så bra.
Han spiller jo så jævla bra.
Jeg bare tenkte, for en fin dag var jeg ute og tok noen pils i går med André.
Man må ikke se den da.
La oss se den filmen da. Så det var jo, jeg går nervebrak hele dag, bare griner.
Ja, men for at jeg så Top Gun etter jeg hadde vært på fylla med danskene og begynte å grine av den. Så du må ikke se den største forbrytelsen.
Ikke dagen derpå.
Det er dårlig.
Det må man ikke
gjøre. Ja, for det ble noen øl i går, men det var jævla hyggelig. Vi var jo på Lull selvfølgelig, og du var på Flaskemuseet.
Ja, på jobba sa du. Det høres ut som en sånn ekstra fyllekulle. Du var på Flaskemuseet, du, Jonas.
Hva heter det? Miniatyrflaskemuseet?
Miniflaskemuseet eller noe sånt.
Ja,
til Ringnes. Det blir jo snart mitt, det, hvis jeg bare forgifter familien i riktig rekkefølge.
Ja, det er sant. Det.
Siden,
søsteren din er inne
i... Søster er i den familien nå.
Hun er jo... Hun tar jo over det Flaskemuseet først.
Ja, og så kverker jeg henne. Og så må jeg ta over ansvaret for Rakel Ringnes, den lille jenta. Så jeg må passe på det.
Det er greit.
Ja, og da eier jeg på en måte Flaskemuseet snart.
Ja.
Så det blir bra.
Men veldig hyggelig. Ja, som sagt, på latter da er det jo nå altså, så mye show denne uka her, at man blir jo helt ulte.
Ja. Du skal ha tre på lørdag, du.
Tre på fredag, tre på lørdag.
Du, tre på fredag også,
ja. Ja, så på fredag gjør vi først ute klokka 6:30, så gjør vi hovedscenen 8:30, og så gjør vi klubben 10:00.
Shit.
Men
er det ikke VG-lista topp 20 på fredag?
Det kan godt hende.
Det hadde jo nesten vært digg å bare ta alle showene inne, hvis de skal dundre sant, løs med Shaggy, eller vet du, faen,
Shaggy, Shag og
jeg vet ikke hvem venner, disse eller? Ungdommene hører på.
Kamelen
og han der møbeltyven. Kommer sikkert. Hva er det
Cezinando.
Cezinando. Cezilong, burde han egentlig kalle seg
da. Ja, han må bytte navn.
Ja, så det kan bli litt bråkete for dere da. Det har pleid å gå greit før. Altså. Jeg skal på Fornebu-festival jeg på fredag.
Ja, oh, ja, ja. Hva med musikkfestival?
Ja, Music and Arts Festival. Så jeg vet ikke
på det samme stedet du har vært før det?
Ja.
Med family?
Da jeg var på konsert med fatteren sitt band.
Fy fader, vi går fortsatt og hoster og snørrer og holder
på. Ja, ja, ja.
Det blir ikke frisk. Er det en måned nå? Hvor man, det er long covid all the way.
Ja, det slår ikke ut på testen min, men jeg begynner jo å mistenke at jeg har det, ja.
Ja.
At det er long covid. Altså.
Som, det er jævlig irriterende. Ja, det er helt ja. Og det kommer og går, og i natten jeg kom hjem etter vi hadde vært ute i går, så måtte jeg ta et par hodepinntabletter faktisk, for da kjente jeg det var helt sånn varm i pæra, og det var ikke fordi det, at vi ja, drakk kanskje et par øl, altså når
det ble ikke så sykt i går, altså ble ikke så sykt i går.
Nei, men det var ganske stille og rolig egentlig, og så, men jeg hadde dødsvondt i hodet plutselig, sånn, akkurat sånn
covid-vondt,
ja. Så det er helt merkelig det greiene der. Bare kommer i sånne puljer.
Men det er fint at vi får det nå da, før vi drar til New York.
Fy fader, nå er det boka tur jo da.
Ja, det er boka tur til New York. Vi skal til New York, André.
New York Comedy Festival.
Ja,
og det blir... Det er ikke før november, men det, altså, jeg våkner hver dag nå og gleder meg allerede.
Ja, jo. Det er så deilig. Jeg bare vet at jeg skal noe fett.
Men jeg lurer på, det må jo være 3 år siden vi var sist da, for vi har jo gjort dette her i mange år egentlig. Sånn, ja. Vi har dratt hver november for å være der på det. Ja. Den festivalen, men...
Så kom den dumme coviden da.
Ja, altså, det må jo være 3 år siden sist.
Jeg tror det, for vi rakk vel ikke... Ja, det kom i mars det der.
Ja, nei, vi var... 2019. Så, men jeg tror det er...
Eller er det bare 2 år? Det blir 3 år når vi reiser.
Ja, ja, så når vi, kommer, når vi er der da, så er det 3 år siden sist. Ja,
vi sier det.
Ja, tror det altså.
Jeg tror det.
Jeg tror det.
Jeg tror det.
Så det blir gøy.
Ja, og så må vi litt chatte til Morten Ramadi som lagde den der festivalen oppe over Oslo.
Over Oslo Humorfest?
Ja, det var jo mye, mye rart.
Ja, men du var der oppe, du?
Jeg var der oppe og bare så på.
Ja.
Altså, det var mye rart og mye gøy. Og så var det faktisk jævlig gøy at det var så mange som kom for å se humor.
Ja, veldig kult.
Det var 4000 mennesker der oppe, André.
Ja, men alle var ikke for å se humor. Det var noen andre ting som skjedde også.
Nei, det var bare humor.
Var
fordi,
det det?
Ja, for de har... Musikkfestivalen er jo der, ikke sant?
Ja.
Og så den ene helgen, og så tar de pause... Så tirsdagen var det ikke noen konserter.
Sånn, ja.
Så, men alt utstyret står der. Riggen og scenen og alt. Så da bare tok de en humordag.
Å, så fett. Så var faktisk 4000 mennesker
der. Det var 4000 mennesker bare for å se vitser og tullball. Ja, det var altså, faktisk litt kult, altså.
Ja, men da er det jo slett at de 4000 også er jævlig fett.
Ja, jævlig fett, altså.
Turen, og det er ikke så jævla enkelt å komme seg opp der, eller?
Nei, de hadde faktisk jævlig fint opplegg, for du måtte bare komme ned til Storo, og da gikk det busser, gratis busser opp.
Ja,
så det kom masse busser sånn fortløpende hele tiden.
Mm.
Så det gikk egentlig ganske fint, altså. Det blir litt sånn der busstemning, da, vet du.
Ja, ja. Men det er festival.
Ja, det er festival.
Gikk busser ned etterpå, da, eller?
Da tok
taxi?
Jeg taxi.
Ah, ja, okay.
Men jeg tror det gikk busser fra klokka ett eller sånt, men det var sånn etterfest som jeg fikk helt panikk av.
Ja, for Jørgen Hvite Gutter, Epe Epesen, han var på latter på tirsdag og skulle opp dit, så jeg vurderte å bli med, men ja, da ble det. Jeg skulle jo gå, være så flink, jeg, og gå rett hjem etter jobb. Så da...
Hvordan gikk det?
Jeg kom helt til Frensborgveien før jeg traff noen folk jeg kjenner, så da...
Ja.
Og ble jeg jo sittende
da. Da ble det Orlando da.
Da ble det Orlando da. Ja. Jeg møtte faktisk Ari Kalve og dame hans, og det var drithyggelig. Så vi ble sittende og skravle litt jobb da, vet
du. Ja, og det, jeg skal ikke avsløre hva dere snakket om, men jeg synes det hørtes veldig spennende ut.
Ikke sant? Men det som også var kult var at de skulle reise til Isle of Wight.
Oi.
Den øya utenfor, det må jo være rett utenfor i England et sted. De sånne brittiske øyer,
ja.
Isle of Wight, men som Isle of Wight.
Ja, er det ikke Wright, det? Det er en øy som heter
Wright,
det.
Isle of Wight. Isle of Wight, eller Isle of Wight.
Isle of Wight, du sa Wright.
Der var det i hvert fall festival, altså det var jo sånn Woodstock, var jo det samme året var det, det var Isle of Wight, så var det Woodstock, og så var det en stor til, som var de liksom tre største hippiefestivalene. Men nå har de, og så startet de opp igjen for noen år siden, og så har de, tror jeg, ligget nede under pandemien, men nå er det i gang igjen masse konserter. De skulle på hørt så jævla fett ut, faktisk.
Ja, kanskje vi skal dra på hippiefestival, slå ut håret.
Det er nå i helgen, så det...
Ja, ja, da skal jeg på Fornebu-festival,
ja. Ja, det er det du skal.
Ja.
Men, Vi har jo ja. En kanadisk gjest som vi må ja. Få inn i studiet.
Da må vi få inn han.
Siden vi... han er på latter
denne Sier du Paul eller Paul? Eller Paul?
Paul.
Paul.
All right.
Come on down.
Come on down.
To the
Paradise City.
Yes. Jeg skulle egentlig holdt... Jeg som skal egentlig holde skravla gående når gjesten kommer inn, men det er så interessant for folk å høre på. Nei, jeg sier at jeg skal holde skravla I gang. Men nå switcher vi til English!
Yes!
Hey, my friend, how are you?
Good, how are you?
You can sit...
Yep, sit there.
It's just right into it.
So, in studio today we have Paul Myhre Haug, which is the... biggest fan of Nickelback in Canada.
I'm the president of the fan club.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, we're Chattyacks. We call each other Chattyacks.
You
Chattyacks.
Love that band.
Oh, we love it. Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, how could you not? It's just so complicated, the music. They're just so talented. Juilliard trained.
No, but the funny thing that Nickelback is actually... giving out your podcast.
Yeah, so...
what?
Yeah, they. I'm with Comedy Here Often. It's a podcasting network, and it was started under the same label as Nickelback.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you know them? Have you met them?
No, I don't know. I have met them before, but no, they're not around the office too much. It's their business partner, Jonathan and Dan, that are there lots.
But can they... be outside with people, or do everyone hate them?
Oh yeah, they can be outside.
Okay,
yeah, it's no problem. Then, they don't. They might have some things thrown at them, but
yeah, because they're pretty hated.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's hip. It's hip to not like Nickelback in Canada for sure. Yeah.
So, but are they nice? Are they nice people when you met them?
Yeah. I had a weird experience with the first time I ever met him was years ago before I was with this podcasting label, and they were celebrity coaches for our Juno Awards. It's sort of the Grammy Awards in Canada. We would say the Junos, and I was volunteering. And I was in charge of the celebrity hockey game. So we had rock stars and ex-NHL players, and I was in charge of the rock stars. And Nickelback was by far the most high-maintenance humans I've ever met. You know, yeah, they needed they showed up in 5 navigators. They needed their stuff carried for them. They know, you know, and then you got like Wayne Gretzky sitting there that's, you know, one of the most famous guys in the world. And was one of the easiest going guys, you know. So
By the way, yourself?
Yes, I grew up playing hockey. Yeah. And I'm going to get fired for the word you're making me talk about.
Okay. So they are assholes.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. They deserve all the hate.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
But now you're here. Let's start at the beginning because Myhre Haug, the name... It's Norwegian.
It's Norwegian. Yeah. So my grandfather was born here and immigrated to Canada, I believe during the fish famine when Norway was struggling. So
And they were starving.
That's right. They were starving. So so we moved to Canada. The government of Canada was giving free farmland to Norwegians and just outside of Edmonton. It's still a Norwegian settlement. The towns are New Norway, Viking, Cameron. That's where I'm from. Oh, cool. So there's Lutefisk Christmas. Dinners,
really?
Lefse houses. It's still very, very
Scandinavian.
It's a
big, I actually got family there.
You do?
Yeah, in Vancouver.
Hey, right.
My father's, I think, cousin.
Yeah.
He still lives there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, right on.
Pretty sure. I met him a couple of times. I was in Vancouver in 86 during the expo. 86.
Oh, yeah. The globe still stands.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Yeah. So, my grandpa and basically every one of my grandparents is Norwegians. It's all just Norwegians in that area. So, so pretty strong Norwegian roots.
Yeah. Do they still speak Norwegian?
In my dad's family, he had 7 siblings and it got lost. My grandpa grandpa, my Melker was his name.
Grandpa Melker.
Grandpa Melker. Bestafar. He passed away in a logging accident. The tree split in half and he got hit by the other part of the tree. And so at that point, the Norwegian around the household kind of, it went down a little bit. It didn't go as far as my dad. My dad's the youngest. His siblings spoke Norwegian though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you speak any Norwegian at all? Or?
No, not really. Spise, egg, drage, milk. I can say, okay. Yeah.
I understand. And you grew up there. How long before you? When did you start comedy? Did you start with comedy in Canada? Or?
Yeah, I started in Canada. I started at 18 years old. I started setting it up when I was 17 and going to talk to club managers. You can't go into bars until you're 18 years old, where I'm from. So as soon as I was legal drinking age, I had my first amateur set lined up just after my birthday. I think 2 days after my 18th birthday, wow. Something like that. Yeah, and it was in this club called Yuck Yucks in
comedy club.
Oh yeah. And it was in the world's largest shopping mall, West Edmonton Mall. It's a huge tourist trap, and so it was a big comedy club. That's where, and little did I know, it was one of the easiest comedy clubs to perform in the world. I mean, you didn't even really have to be funny. The crowd was so generous. So when I did it the first time, I was like, oh my fucking, this is no problem. I'm brilliant, you know. And then the first time I went to Vancouver, I remember there was an applause break from the audience, and it was when the red light went on to get off the stage.
Oh wow!
The audience all clapped. They're like, "Yeah, you're done, buddy." But wow! So it was a good place to start for confidence. That club, yeah, yeah.
And so do you travel all around the world with, or do you just come here to Norway because we're special?
Yeah. I'd say Norway is my favorite country to tour in. I absolutely, I love this scene. But I've played 46 different countries in the world.
Wow.
Yeah.
What are the best and worst countries to perform in?
Well, like I said, and not just because I'm here, I truly, absolutely love this country, and maybe it's my heritage. Everything just feels better. Like the temperature feels better for me. Like I think because I have the roots here, that every day is just perfect here.
But also Canada and Norway is kind of similar. Some similarities.
Yes. Yeah, I'd say so.
Both
yeah.
with the people and the climate, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Especially with politeness and personal space and all that. Nicety, you know, the audience don't want to see you struggle here. Yeah. And even if you are, they're kind of like, try to help you out to get out of it. So I really like that. But some of the tougher places for me are the Netherlands. Those crowds with the Dutch crowds are always, they kind of enjoy comedy in a different way, I feel.
Yeah, how so?
They'll be enjoying the show, but it'll be very internal and maybe...
no laughter.
Yeah. They'll kind of be like, that was interesting. And at the end of whatever bit you're doing, they'll just sort of give you a nice clap. Okay. And but they're not going to go nuts like Americans at all. And it is a different rhythm to get used to. So the first time I was there, it was a hard lesson because I did a club called Toomler, which in Amsterdam, and you just spent the whole time thinking like I bombed, fucking I'm the worst comic in the world. Yeah. But then the bookers are like, no, that was really good actually. Like I would say one of the tougher countries to perform.
That sounds terrible because the timing and everything goes out of rhythm.
Yes.
If you don't get any feedback from the audience.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you start panicking, talking faster, you know.
Exactly. Breathing heavy.
Louder. Yeah, louder. And, And I don't know about you guys, but I swear more. Like if I'm nervous, all of a sudden every second word is fucking, so I was walking down the fucking street and fucking, you know. Yeah. So that sticks out in my mind as one of the more difficult ones for sure.
You've been doing stand-up for about 20 years or?
Yeah, so I turned 18 in 2000. So I guess more like 21 or 22 years now. Yeah.
Well, so how long before you started getting booked at professional gigs?
So I remember, I definitely remember the first time I got paid. It was after a competition in Canada. My province of Alberta was a amateur competition for the best amateur in Alberta. So Edmonton and Calgary are the two major centers. So we would have the competitions in each city, and then the finalists would face off. I was still in university when that was going on. So I would have been 21 or 22. And I ended up placing fourth in that competition. And my prize was paid touring. So I got to go week of tour in British Columbia and a week in Saskatchewan. So I would have been 22 when I went for my first paid in hotels, you know, the funnest part of our career, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're like hosting parties in your hotel room after the shows, and
it's all free.
Come on in.
And did you go to the States as well and perform there?
Yeah, absolutely. So in Canada, basically, a lot of comedians either have to choose Europe or the United States. There's kind of a glass ceiling in Canada. There's just not much room for everybody to make a ton of money in stand up. There's only 35 million people across a giant landmass, and so a lot of people, and Canadians are bizarre. If you make it in the US, then you could come home to Canada, you're huge. If you make it in Europe, come home to Canada, you're huge. But homegrown talent in Canada, Canada's don't respond to it. Usually there's
definitely,
it's bizarre. Yeah. And I think that's because we have this little brother syndrome with the United States, where there's so much good productions coming from there that we always sort of Canadian shows, Canadian sitcoms, they all suck. And it's nothing like the US. So a lot of us leave, either choose US or Europe. So when I was younger, I did all the competitions in the US, like the Boston Comedy Competition, Seattle Comedy Competition. I had my run of, you know, down in the improvs in California and stuff like that. So I tried to concentrate on the US when I was younger quite a bit, actually.
Yeah. And then you went to England.
Yeah. So I needed to do the youth. I don't have heritage there to get a visa. Obviously, I'm Norwegian. So there's a youth mobility visa you can apply for before you're 30, and then you get to live there for 2 years. So I thought I have 2 years to find an agent and break into the scene in Europe. So I left when I was 29 years old to do that.
Yeah. And then you stayed for?
I guess still today, kind of in Europe still today. So
But now you live in France.
It's been European based ish I mean, I still work a lot in North America, so what is that, 11 years or something now? I just turned 40, so about 11 years in Europe now.
Alone? Do you have a girlfriend?
Yeah, I have a fiance, actually.
The princess.
Yes. Cecile, she's French, and my uncle and auntie introduced us. They tutored her in English. They have a place in France, and since she was 10, so my auntie and uncle are her second parents, and they introduce us, and away we go. Now
just
we're engaged.
Just keep it in the family.
Yeah, exactly.
This is kind of incestuous,
It's good.
And do you speak French, or?
I'm trying. I mean, we took it in Canada, being bilingual, our country, but my French is awful. I can get around. I can, you know, restaurants, bakeries. I can talk to my neighbors like a Neanderthal. I can say je vais Norvège pour travailler 6 jours.
My French as well.
Yeah.
It's better than mine.
Je verrai une table pour quatre.
Spectaculaire.
Ce soir.
Ce
soir.
Voulez-vous que boum boum?
Oui. Très bien. Oui. Merci.
Stylo.
Yeah, let's stop.
But you had French in school, of course, in Canada, because you have to, don't you?
Yeah. You can choose to continue it in high school, but through the first nine grades, it is a mandatory.
Regret that you didn't pay more attention.
Yeah, and where I'm from, actually, Alberta and Quebec have a big rivalry. They really don't like each other, those two provinces. So where I'm from, it was not important for you to continue French whatsoever. So yeah, but it is a massive regret now. I'm struggling. I take lessons every day. I work on it every day.
Okay,
but,
cool.
So it's getting better. But
it's the best way to learn is, of course, to have a French girlfriend.
Yeah, but she thinks, like, it's bizarre. We've been together for years. She's only just starting to talk to me in French now. And I think it's because she was faced with the reality that she's about to marry a complete idiot. is what it was. She was so, because anytime she would try, she would get so frustrated with me. Maybe it's kind of like learning guitar from your dad or something. You're too close to the project. But so now she's only giving me the respect now. She'll say a few things to me and we'll practice every day. But
where in France are you living?
So along the Mediterranean in the south, nearest big,
near the sea. And
We're a little further up. So to get to the beach would be about a 15-minute trip for us. And then biggest city would be Montpellier. In between Montpellier and Béziers is our small village, it's called.
Sounds nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's very, very nice. Yeah, yeah. It's hot.
But you have to travel for all your work. I guess there's no stand-up clubs in France, which...
Yeah,
where you can speak English.
Yeah, it couldn't be the more poor choice in career I made. It was really dumb, but I just sitting there alone. There is some English speaking comedy in Barcelona, which is about a 2.5-hour drive from me.
Okay,
Because it's a tourist destination, there's about 5 airports there that Ryanair, EasyJet, so basically when I'm touring a lot in Europe, I just get on a flight every Thursday. I'll fly to England or to Ireland or to Norway and then fly home on Sunday and spend the off time. Although I'm trying to take more time and just be at home because that tour in Canada that I'm a part of is a 65-city tour and it happens every year. So I'm trying to more be like a band where you get out there, do a big tour and then take months off and sort of recover. And so that lifestyle is working out a little bit better. Actually be home with Cecile and things like that.
Do you have kids or
no? And we're not gonna have kids.
You don't want to have a kid, or she doesn't want
to? Yeah, both of us weren't really interested. So one of our first dates, actually, she was really nervous to tell me. So she asked me if I wanted kids, and I said no. And then she just screamed like, "Thank God, I finally fucking found one!"
So. Perfect.
Yeah,
perfect.
Yeah. But she works internationally as well. So
what does she do?
She works for Air France.
Okay.
We just don't think it would be fair to the kid or fair to us. We're both never home, and so.
No, but that is perfect. That you're both. Have the same point of view.
Yeah. It works out pretty good. Yeah. And she's a wonderful, wonderful girl. So I'm cool. Pretty happy.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah. Good for you.
We both have kids. And,
we both have kids. both have kids and no girl.
Yeah, and no girlfriend. So that sounds excellent.
we fucked up and we took some bad choices.
Yeah. But are you snipped up now? You got vasectomies, both of you?
I'm thinking about it because I'm 53 years old and getting 53 this summer, actually. And then with my luck, I probably would fuck up again.
Yes.
So I think
you should do that
because I don't want any more kids now.
No.
I'm not seeing myself going around with a trolley and doing the diaper thing one more time. I'm finished with that.
Yeah.
My girl is 9 years old now, so she's getting more and more and do her own things, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take care of herself.
Okay.
And that's
You're free.
Soon. I'm free.
Soon. 9 more years.
And I love it. I love being a dad, but one girl is enough.
Yeah. I think we should have a pact that on Sunday before my flight, all 3 of us go to Dr. Berglund and get a vasectomy. All
I'm
3
not
of
sure
us.
If I want to do it at his on Sunday when he's hungover and
a back alley
in his backyard on Grünerløkka. All right, you can just come. I'm ready.
Get the fuck out.
Get the fuck out.
Did you tour with him in Canada?
Yeah, so he came for the, it's called the Snowden Comedy Tour, that so he really enjoys skiing. Yeah. I'm a snowboarder myself, but yeah, he traveled with our tour for, I think it was 3 weeks. So him and I...
Yeah, he got a great friend with a bearded, long-haired...
Yeah, Craig Campbell.
Craig Campbell.
So him and the guy that I owe all of my Norwegian gigs to, that Stian. So Jonas and Stian had come, and that's where we met. So, but
are you in also in family with Stian in some way, or
no, not at all. No? We
someone said that.
He said that. Stian
said that.
Oh,
he said he was your uncle. He said he was your father.
He's also a big fan of incest.
Runs in the family. Also married with your girlfriend.
Yes. It works. We get judged, but it's our life. So I'd actually met Stian in Austria, in Meerhofen, there's a comedy festival there. So when I lived in the UK, I was booked for that, and that's where we met. And but I owe him so much because of him coming to Norway. I reconnected with all my cousins and my family here, and so I got I'll never be able to repay Stian for what he's done. He's wonderful man.
But did you do his because he made a festival up in the mountains, the Fridge Fest?
Yeah.
Did you do that?
No. Maybe it's at the time of Snowden, so I'm never... Because it's always January to April that I'm booked.
Exactly.
Every,
that's when we had the same thing here. It was just a weekend, though, but it was 20 shows or something. It was cool.
Oh, man, amazing.
And I think it was after... It was inspired by... Snowden Festival.
Yeah. Tour you were on as well.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Very cool. Yeah. Well, one day I'll get fired off of my tour and I'll be able to play this one. It'll be great.
So how's Craig? How's he doing? Someone told me he turned a little... crazy?
I don't know. It's hard for me to talk about Craig. I really don't know what's going on. He doesn't come to Canada for our tour anymore. Okay. So I haven't seen him for years. I really can't speak to it. I'm not really sure.
There was just some rumors around that something happened. I don't know.
But I haven't spoken to him in, I think, 3 or 4 years now.
Used to come here every year.
Yeah.
And do comedy.
Yeah,
but I went on the Easter holiday with him as well.
Yeah,
with him and Frankie Boyle.
Hey, cool.
Yeah, and do you understand what Frankie Boyle says when he speaks?
Yeah, it's hard.
I don't.
He doesn't understand.
I just didn't understand anything. Frankie Boyle. It's just I can't.
But did you go through work in Easter or just the whole day?
Yeah, we went to Geilo to do a show, and then they had us there for free for a week. And so then he brought Frankie Boyle as well as a friend.
Hey, cool. Yeah. And that's really rare to get Frankie on a vacation because he has a fear of flying. So when he goes, he has to take a boat. Because when I was with him in Glen Wool on vacation in the Netherlands, we had gone and he had to take a boat. So lucky.
Glen Wool, didn't he come on the podcast as well?
Yeah, he's been a guest on the podcast as well. He's been here a lot. I really got to know him the first time he was in Norway. I think he was with his girlfriend, which is not together with now, but at that time, must be 10 years, maybe more, since when he was there the first time, and we really, really had fun. I really like Glenn. He's a funny guy.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a more fun human. If you like fun, Glenn is...
Yeah, he likes fun.
He loves fun.
Yes, I was a little... It was a shame I didn't get to see him. He was here now on Saturday, I think.
Yeah.
He did a show at the Grünerløkka på...
Park
Teatret. Yep.
Yeah. Crap up a park.
At his new show, I think.
Oh, yeah. 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 Beautiful. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I ended up in a hospital with him in Amsterdam once, speaking of fun. On a fun day. Yeah, yeah.
Tell us that story.
Yeah, yeah. So we were at this whiskey bar, but...
it starts off good.
Yeah, everything that starts where we went out to a whiskey bar, you know it's going to end
for
poorly.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Wolf. It must have been 4 hours sitting there drinking whiskey. And Glenn had got up to go to the bathroom, and something, I don't know exactly the details, something bad happened in the bathroom. I don't know, there were some problems in the bathroom. I don't know, I forget exactly
in
what it was.
Trouble with some people?
No, but self problems. He had self problems, but he wanted to get out of there in a hurry. And when...
he took a dump and then they wanted to get out of there in a hurry.
Yeah. He had some boogie in his giddy up, and he missed a step in the bar. Aye. And rolled his ankle, and chairs flew all over the place, and he was screaming in pain and rolling around on the ground, and it was a real bad scene. So we kind of got him up and put ice on his ankle, and he calmed down, and he tried to take a few steps, and he was like, oh, I'm fine. So, but he had forgotten that we drank whiskey for 4 hours, which is a bit of a painkiller, you know? So,
yeah, of course.
We went to a couple more bars around Amsterdam, and then we were on a dance floor, and all of a sudden he just went white and, fell, like passed out onto the ground. And, his ankle had been, it was broken.
dance floor.
Yeah. He's line dancing, boots scooting, boogie.
I love fun.
So it was me, him, and Phil Nickel, actually. I don't know if you know Phil. I don't know if he comes out here much, but another great man. But so we had, you know, the ambulance, hospital, the whole nine. And we had also stopped at the smart shop to grab magic mushrooms, you know? So
of course.
But Phil and I and Glenn were on the way to the hospital. We had all these mushrooms. We were like, oh, are we allowed to bring these in to, or what? Should we put, throw them in a bush before we get into the hospital? We're going to get in trouble. I don't know what we were thinking. And so we just made the mistake of like, oh, fuck it. Well, let's just eat them. Let's just eat them all.
Wow.
So, oh my God. So we were just flying in that hospital. It wasn't a busy night. So there must have been three or four nurses and a couple of doctors. There was nobody in the waiting room, and they could tell that we were like out of our minds, messed up, but friendly Canadians. So instead of, they organized wheelchair races for us, the doctors and nurses, they would set up obstacle paths, and we were in wheelchairs with lead vests on.
That's
and
what crutches. You thought.
It turned out...
You know, they were chasing you, trying to catch you. You're like, this is cool.
Oh my God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right. Yeah, maybe my perception's all wrong.
I don't think the staff in that hospital was setting up anything for you guys.
Oh God, it was great. And then I was supposed to go on tour in Latvia and Estonia, I think the next day, I actually got food poisoning, and I swear, but I had to call in sick. I had to call our agency and say I got food poisoning in Amsterdam with Glenn Wool.
We had some mushrooms in there. Yeah, those mushrooms weren't something wrong with them.
Yeah. The booker didn't buy it, but yeah, there you go. That's my. He loves fun. Glenn loves fun.
Yeah. Oh, that is.
So, do you have hilarious. An agent who in each country, or do you have an international agent who just contacts all the clubs everywhere?
Yeah, so I had an agent in the UK and in Canada. And then I guess Dion just sort of takes care of me here. But I left the manager in the UK and I left the manager in Canada. So now I just make my own phone calls. And after 20 years or something, you can just call the booker yourself and and save the 20%. So I kind of went down that route. Yeah.
Not so bad.
Not so bad. Not so bad at all. Yeah, the UK one maybe was a mistake because they're very much like a system where all the managers talk to each other and organize double ups and things like that. So I found myself out of that system pretty quick. So I used to work in the UK a lot. And now me taking care of it, I don't think that was maybe the wisest decision. But,
okay. But can you get back into the agency or?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure if I made the phone call. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But I started. I'm Ed Byrne. Do you guys know Ed Byrne?
He was there.
He comes. Steven brings him in. So I'm his support act for his tours in the UK. So once every 2 years, I get to do like 60 cities with him, and that sort of keeps me in it, and that's kind of good enough for now, I'd say. And the venues are really nice because he's way above my pay grade, so it's nice nice to do those theaters rather than the dirty comedy clubs. In the UK.
I don't think I've met him here, but I've seen him on Apollo and or on McIntyre's show or
sort of long-haired Irish fella. He's one of the most intelligent person. If you watch a quiz show with him, like Jeopardy or something like that, he'll nail every answer before the contestants do. He'll just sit there and be, you know, the Sea of Tranquility, E=mc², just bang. He's smart as a whip, that guy.
I almost had a chance to speak to him. And then Jonny came and ruined everything.
Okay.
Our the godfather of stand-up in Norway.
We all
started up with him at his club. And I was standing next to Ed Burns and I was going to talk to him. I was a fan. And then Jonny just came in and then started telling me, "Yo, that was a very good, your acting drunk on stage. That's a good act." And he just insulted him. And so he just left. I was like, "Johnny!
Fuck, man."
Had he been to Josefine's or?
No, it was at Lotter, actually. Yeah, okay. He had a show at Lotter. I think he was just showcasing. Just did a 15-minute act and then he was going to come back.
It
was part of some, so everyone was there to see him and I just was standing next to him and I was like, I'll say something clever. And then Johnny just ruined it.
And with an insult.
With an insult.
Because he has this style, he was drinking champagne on stage and kind of slurring his words a little.
Yeah.
Which is part of his routine. It was back then. And then...
And it's no routine.
You don't tell a comedian that, you're acting.
No.
That's very good. You're acting drunk. So I just, fuck.
Amazing.
So we never became best friends.
Oh, that's too bad. Too bad. Well, I'll hook the two of you up.
Please.
We'll do a Skype call for you. I just saw him a couple of weeks ago. I went to go visit him in the UK because his little brother Paul just passed away. He's the guy that actually introduced me and got me on Ed's tour. But I just want to mention his brother was one of the most talented. He was a director of Edinburgh shows. So he would put together comedians and would come to him to help structure the show. And he was sort of the best secret weapon in the UK. He was an unbelievable mind for comedy, Paul. I just want to mention that.
Are you going to Fringe this year? Or?
No, I'm not. My parents' 50th wedding anniversary is this year. So, and I have a family wedding in Canada. So instead of a career, I chose some family stuff. Yeah. I'll go back to Canada and do those two things. Yeah.
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 So how long do you stay like off the tours?
So this is my first year actually trying to put this into play. So the Snowden tour is close to 4 months, those 65 cities. So I took, I would like to take 2 months off right away and just recover from it because I'm always 20 pounds heavier. I gotta go into rehab for alcohol. So just recover and be home. And then, I don't know about how you guys do it. Like you got to find a balance between writing material for your own show and having some time at home. So this year I'm trying 1 month of work and then I'll go home for a month and do nothing. And 1 month of work and home for a month and one month. So I'll just kind of take a month.
Do you write then when you're home?
Sorry?
Do you write on tour or do you write when you're home?
I'm trying to change this, but I usually just write on tour, like when I'm in clubs. And yep. There's a few clubs in Canada that are really great for writing new material because the audiences are the friendliest in the world. Ottawa and Toronto, they're called Absolute Comedy Clubs. So I go there and usually write while I'm there. But I'm trying to... at home now get better with writing jokes. The problem is I have dyslexia and writing just, it never sticks into my brain. So I'm trying to do a new system by recording and listening and cutting it and piecing it together and trying to do more hearing myself talk. I'm trying to get better with actually treating it as a day job rather than just on stage. So we'll see how it goes.
So do Cecile, that's her name, does she come on tour with you sometimes or?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, okay. She's pretty savvy now. She'll come to towns that she likes.
And she probably gets you tickets, plane tickets, sometimes for you. If she works Air France?
Yeah. So the rule is I can't use Air France for work. If I'm going home back to France or something like that, then that's fine. Okay. I'm an Air France husband, so I can. So it's great. It's really exactly. Wonderful. So sometimes she'll request. The flight that I'm taking to go back to North, and she actually works the flight either way. So she'll come to Vancouver, stay with me for a couple of days, and then we'll fly home together. But she's actually working on the flight. That's what happened this time. Perfect, yeah. So she sneaks me Jack Daniels and things like that. Yeah. So it's pretty good. So yeah, she'll come on tour, but she'll really only come to Whistler
to the nice places.
Yeah.
And she skis as well because you're a snowboarder.
Yeah. And she skis. Yeah. So. So we go skiing together and she, when I'm in, she likes a few cities in the US and she really loves England and she loves Norway. She's come here with me, as well. My uncle, my grandpa's youngest brother. Yeah. It was a big orgy.
totally misunderstood that heritage in Norway. Yeah. That's what Norwegians do. They keep it in the family. Yeah. We gotta go Viking style. It's my uncle.
My grandpa's youngest brother had a 96 year old birthday near Drammen. Cecile, we come here, do some gigs, and she came to my uncle's birthday and my great uncle's birthday, I suppose. So she'll come, but not to cities she doesn't like anymore.
We talked about it at the latter. Tuesday, the skiing thing, you said you were a pretty good snowboarder, but you got scared after an accident.
Yeah. I can do heli boarding and things like that. I can do backcountry, so I can hold my own on a snowboard. But after I got into an accident, separated shoulder, separated bicep, back problems that still today are bugging me. And then I heard your story about being an avalanche, which fucking blew my goddamn mind. And it seems like you have handled it better than I have, because I'm still snowboarding with a little bit of that fear.
You said.
Yeah, I'm not pushing as hard as I did when I was younger. So
that's probably smart anyway.
I suppose. Yeah. And the dumbest thing is it was a double black diamond in a place near Kelowna. I don't know if you guys know that town, but so we just come off the double black, and it was dead steep, trees all over, and I got through it. Like, I was fine. It was really fun, and it was just the cat track on the way back. And that's where the accident was. Just a flat.
Typically.
Yeah, fuck. Yeah. You're just not paying attention and bang.
And so. It stops. So that's what we talked about as well. That in the snowboard, it stops so fast because you're like attached so in the wrong way on the board, really.
Yeah.
So it's. And you're fucked when it's...
You're fucked. And yeah.
In a different way than on skis.
So. Oh, because at least with skis, your legs can flail and move with the...
Exactly.
Yeah. So, oh man, it was ugly. It was really ugly. But that's the fun thing about snowboarding is you only are truly into the sport after your first concussion, I would say. You're gonna have to learn a hard lesson with a concussion. and then you're decent.
I learned snowboard in a day. It's pretty easy to learn, not to be really good, but to do it. Like, just one day, a couple of hours, and I was snowboarding as hell.
Yeah.
That was totally
strange. But you do surf.
I had a good teacher. Yeah, I surf, and I also had a good teacher that day who showed me really easy. You got a couple of hours where you hit your butt as hell, and you fall, and everything is shit, and then, so it's like this. Yeah. And then you can just point. Then it goes where you point.
That's right. Yeah. The little teapot. Do you guys know that song? I'm a little teapot. Yeah. That's how they teach you.
Exactly.
Then you just point your spout wherever you want to go.
Yeah. That was strange.
Yeah.
And then we snowboarded a lot after that. But we actually got, we drove from Switzerland to Italy, and there's a tunnel where there's the customs on both sides of that tunnel.
Yeah.
And I was going with two guys with long hair and hippie snowboarders. So we got stopped on the Swiss border. They totally took apart the vehicle looking for drugs and dogs and everything. And then they put everything in while the Italians were standing looking at that border, looking at all what they did.
Yeah.
Then we went over, they stopped us there, did the same thing.
Were they watching?
They were watching us on the Swiss side, that they took the car apart, everything out of the car, and they didn't strip search us, but that was the only thing that they didn't do.
Italians don't
and
trust
then
the Swiss.
Came to the Italian side.
They don't know how to do it. The Swiss people, we'll show them.
Very competitive people.
That was the most insane thing.
That's freaking insane, man. I was just crossing a border story. So I was doing this tour of, so it was United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Qatar, and Kuwait. Those were the cities on this tour, comedy tour. And I got, at the time, Canada and the United Arab Emirates were in a political war about a military base called Mirage there, and airspace for F-16s. There was something going on. So I had a visa to go to the United Arab Emirates, so I did that. And actually, I was having a hard time in the shows. The shows weren't, I just had a couple of bad luck shows. It just was not going very well. And the booker was sort of like, this is kind of, and I was like, yeah, I know. And we left Qatar and did the show there. Thankfully, it went really well. And then came back to the United Emirates for another show. But by the time in between that, they decided to cancel all the Canadian visas. So then I was at the border with one of those scary military guys, and basically the booker had to pay them an extra, it turned out to be £900 to get me back into the country. And my shows weren't going very good. So and it's going to cost her another £900. And so she handed over the credit card. Her hand was like shaking like this. And the military,
you're about to be left there.
Yeah. And she looked at me and she's like, you better start being fucking funny. It was brilliant. Oh my God.
Oh, what's the worst place you've ever been?
For work? I did a stretch of military stuff. So I was in Iraq and Afghanistan. So I guess though, come to mind for tough, those, it was horrible. Horrible.
I was in Afghanistan, had a great time.
Yeah. I mean, the time was great,
we did gigs for Norwegian soldiers. So for us, it was no problem.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I did Norwegian soldiers as well. And in Kosovo, in some Norwegian Serbian soldiers in Kosovo as well. Yeah. I would say the shows were brilliant, but I would just seeing driving through Kabul and things like that. I mean,
go to Kabul because there was a fucking road bomb that day.
Oh God, holy
Lord.
So we
couldn't go out to the camp. That was
how inconvenient.
Same, I would have loved to have seen it. I would have loved to have seen Kabul.
But
the strangest thing was the flying through the different camps, because they had the missiles, but they don't have the right equipment, so they just shoot them out if they see a plane. So that's why they take off just straight up and then go, and when you go down, straight down. They don't take off as a normal plane.
That's right.
That was okay. Straight up in the air.
Yeah, it's terrifying. And that corkscrew landing the first time you have that. It's awful.
Really.
Holy
that
shit.
That was strange. The first time we landed, the first thing you get is your helmet and the vest. Then you think, okay, so now we're...
This is fucking real.
Yeah, this is real.
Yeah, but the worst place for... Maybe some small towns in Canada, actually. Now that I think about it, maybe some of the roughest places are Fairview, Alberta. And that's a famous gig. They have a cabaret license in Canada. So to stay open till 3 a.m., you have to have an hour of live entertainment a week.
Okay.
It's a cabaret license. So
so you're kind of there just to keep the liquor license going.
Exactly. Yeah,
so people are there just to drink.
Exactly.
They don't care.
Yeah. And the bar doesn't care either, because comedians are the cheapest way to keep that license going, right?
Yeah.
So you'd have these gigs that were you'd do an hour by yourself to no one that gave a fuck, including the venue.
Oh, yeah. It's terrible.
And they've been running for... That gig in particular was a 30-year gig. They had it going for... and there wouldn't be many famous comedians that hadn't done it, like Jim Carrey and Norm Macdonald. Everybody went up there to do that, to do get the gig. So that's
part of the education.
Yeah. And you had to do it no matter what. One time there was one person, and the bar, they're like, no, you got to go. So you just... talk for an hour into the abyss just so they could serve booze.
Yeah. Wow.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, if you want to see Paul at stage, you're still a couple of days here in Norway at Latter. We have 6 shows. We have 2 today and 3 on Friday, 3 on Saturday. So the podcast comes out today. So if you... are interested, please come and watch Paul and the rest of the gang.
Yeah, and if you like Nickelback and podcasts, check out my podcast. It's Microdose Podcast, the Microdose Podcast.
Yeah, do that as well.
Yeah.
And hope we can have you back on the podcast someday. Also, it was really cool that you could come. Have a great weekend here in Norway, and we wish you a great summer.
Right on. You too. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yep. Og folkens, dere får...
da ble det god sommer til alle.
Rett og slett god sommer. Yep. Ha en herlig sommer, og så høres vi når vi høres.
Ja, det blir ikke før i august, da.
Det gjør ikke det.
Nei.
Det gjør ikke det, men Jonas Stømme, vi snakkes.
Vi snakkes.
All right.
Adieu.
Ha det.
Moderne medier.